face of a riot of scorn. I take the fuck to the board. Far from the normal, follow like cattle. I'm more like the catalyst, carving a pistol battle. Let the cowboy on the saddle. You don't know a pistol from a gavel. Never never to position you to death. One energy flex, but I'm back in the sight of my own betrayal.
Welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. So we're going to move on to another event or process that I'm really excited about. It's happening in Atlanta, Georgia, June 27th through July 1st. It's the first ever U.S. social forum. So under the banner, Another World is Possible, Another U.S. is Necessary, we're going to be gathering folks in Atlanta to talk about where the movement's at and where do we want to go and how can we get there. So joining us today is Cindy Weissner. She's a queer working class Latina originally from Hollywood, California, and a longtime community activist and later her organizer. She's currently working at the Miami Worker Center, and she co-chairs the Outreach Working Group of the National Planning Committee of the U.S. Social Forum. And then we've got Colin Raja. He's the Global Justice Program Director for the National Network for Immigrant and Refugee Rights. It's a coalition of over 50 immigrant organizations, and he's heading up the program committee. So we've got some national organizers here to tell us a little bit about the U.S. Social Forum. Welcome, you guys.
Hey, Tony.
I'm so happy to be tuning in to Los Angeles, my hometown.
That's right. So before we get started, I mean, I think one of the things that's really important was there was a decision early on from the National Planning Committee to hold the social forum in Atlanta, Georgia, in the South. So let me throw it off to you, Cindy, since you guys are working in Florida over there. What does it mean for the movement and your own work and the significance of having the first U.S. social forum in the South?
So we are very excited and very honored to be honoring this, to be hosting the first U.S. social forum in the South. Atlanta, Georgia is a very important, in a lot of ways, site of struggle. You know, from early histories, a fight against genocide of Native Americans, to the fight against slavery and civil rights and now immigrant rights as well. And a whole bunch of workers' rights struggles have also been birthed in Atlanta, Georgia, and in the South in general. And so for a lot of us in the South, this is very important to host this very important event. And I think that's, we're looking forward to people coming down.
All right. So, I mean, I think for a lot of folks, people have experienced one of the World Social Forums or heard about it. It's a counter to the World Economic Forum in Davos. And it was supposed to be something for the movement to gather as an alternative to try to vision something different. But so for folks that have experienced it, they kind of get what it's like. But for people who don't, and even for folks who have imagined a social forum, this one's going to be a little bit different. And since, Colin, you've been working a lot on trying to figure out the flow of the week, can you walk people through the sense of the 5 days? Like, what's the social forum going to be like? And if it's not just a conference but a movement-building process, how's that going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely right, Tammy. It's basically going to be nothing like what we've ever experienced before. I mean, a lot of people think of it as more like a conference, but it really isn't. I mean, a lot of sessions are designed around what we call self-organized events. This means that people get to plan out and organize what they want to do, whereas typically you go to a conference and it's set up for you already. So a lot of people can bring their movements into this kind of converging space, and they can put it on. And it's also, we're trying to create a space where people can get a good sense of what are the other things going on so that they can collaborate. They can communicate with each other even before getting there, and they can talk about what they're going to do. We're also setting up spaces where, you know, in the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, and the beginning of the whole event and at the end of the whole event, we're looking at converging spaces, and we're looking at opening panels, closing panels. We're looking at focusing specific plenaries around key issues that have been really prominent the past couple of years. So, again, we're really trying to highlight a lot of the things that are going on and kind of challenge each other about like how we're doing that and kind of talk about how we can do that better. And in particularly interesting development is that on the very last day, we're having what we're kind of calling right now a people's assembly, movement assembly. And the idea is for us to go into this last day after going through this whole process of, 3-4 days of meeting, workshopping, convening, and all of that. But we're taking it to the last day and say, where do we go from here? And I think that's a piece that's often missing in a lot of meetings and conferences and all that, where we talk about what's happening and what we need to do to respond to that immediately. But we want to take a major step by having understand, like, what's happening issue-wise, having talked about, like, what we want to achieve, where we want to get to. We want to look specifically at how do we get there? What's that roadmap look like from various movements? So, in a nutshell, that's kind of the idea for the whole forum.
So when you talk about convergence, why is that important, and what do you mean by that?
Well, Tammy, I think, talking from the national network standpoint, we've been working on immigrant rights issues for over 20 years, but in that time, we always consider that the immigrant rights movement and the work that we do is really a small piece of a larger social and economic justice movement in the U.S. And that's really key. And I think when we talk about a converging space, it's really important that we not get siloed into our specific issue focus and get really deep into that, but also to be able to understand the larger context, the larger movement building that needs to happen for us to be successful in our own specific movements. And, as part of that struggle, it's really key for us to come together with different movements, talk about what's happening in our spaces, but also, like, how we can work together in kind of changing the whole dynamics, changing the whole arena of how this is happening, especially in the U.S.
I mean, so that's one of the challenges of the movement, is that many people are focused around their specific issue areas, which is, in terms of work and capacity, it may be good to have a focus issue. It's what an organization can concentrate and really make a dent into. But I think what the movement has lacked as a whole is an ability to see themselves as part of a larger program and building a larger whole. So then in that, guys, Cindy, I mean, Colin had talked about, like, picking some five major themes of struggles or areas of struggles that the U.S. has been dealing with. Can you name them and why they're important to focus on? So regardless of whatever issue people are working on, why these six?
That's right. That's now six. So I think that one of the ways in which the National Planning Committee has really tried to really keep a pulse of and really name what are the political moments that are defining our the time now, right? And what are the things that we feel are really important to highlight as issues and struggles that are at the forefront? And one of the main ones is really building up an anti-war, anti-militarism, and really talking about the impact of prisons and occupation, right? And as more and more of the money, the federal budget goes into building up, this war machine, the U.S. war machine, more and more we see our communities ignored and devastated. And part of what we feel like is important is how is it in the U.S. in particular, are we going to continue building the anti-war momentum and really bring the troops home, but then at the same time really start talking about the issues domestically around the wars in our communities, right, as more ICE presence and the raids that are happening as more and more prisons are built in our communities and young folks, that's the only options that they, it's easier to get into a jail than actually get into a classroom at a university. And I think one of the things is really bringing that perspective forward. The second issue that I think is really important is, we're coming up on the second anniversary of the Great Flood and the Katrina devastation and Wilma devastation that happened on the Gulf Coast. And for us, particularly about really hosting the U.S. Social Forum in the South is really focusing and highlighting the struggle of internally displaced folks and their right to return. And what does it mean to fight for reconstruction? As we see the biggest land grab, the biggest gentrification fight in the nation right now is the Gulf Coast and New Orleans in particular. And how are we, again, on the eve of the second year anniversary, are we really putting pressure and focus on that? What's going to happen nationally to ensure justice, right? third area is really looking at, you know, the impact of neoliberalism on workers and the impact that it has on, you know, what is the push and pull effect that makes people come to this country, you know, economic, political reasons, but then what's happened, again, to the service economy? What's happened to, you know, as folks are, you know, working to survive and working 2-3 jobs, and again, really understanding the impact of the neoliberal agenda on domestically in particular is important to highlight. Also, the intersection between global warming, indigenous sovereignty, and really, again, paying attention to the destruction and the impact of the climate change, and then really putting to the forefront what does it mean for indigenous communities that have been saying these things for many, many years, and how do we then begin to address that intersectionality. And then the two last areas of focus is obviously the immigrant and migrant rights, and really figuring out how, again, we take this conversation, build on the mobilization after the millions of people on the streets. How do we understand what's next in that immigrant and migrant rights movement? How do we continue putting, you know, as they're putting more and more money into building the wall between Mexico and the United States, or the guest worker program, how are we then talking strategy and tactics and building off of the momentum? And then the last one is really looking at women and queer liberation, and understanding how this issue has been a wedge issue used by the religious right and the political right to really create division, you know, within our community. And we, I believe in the elections last year, was around how this was used, gay marriage was used as a homophobic way of, again, creating divisions in our community. And how do we, again, highlight and talk about that we need to be able to promote, you know, women's liberation, gay, lesbian, transgender liberation, and I think that that's, again, another focus of the overall frame. That's not to say that issues around education, HIV, health, violence, police brutality, housing, gentrification, those issues are going to be all throughout the workshops, all through the self-organized activities. But these six areas were what we felt were defining, were moments, political struggles that in the last couple of years have really shaped politics and policy domestically and internationally, and that we felt we needed to address on a bigger stage.
Mm. So Jim, a little follow-up on that is that weekend of the U.S. Social Forum, June 27th and July 1st, is also the 38th anniversary of Stonewall Rebellion. So why would it be important for the LGBT community to represent the U.S. Social Forum and choose not to go to some of the pride parades that are happening throughout the nation, but to come instead to Atlanta, Georgia?
So we're asking all queer folk, right, from all over the country to come down to Atlanta, also known as the, you know, the dirty south, down south, to come and celebrate our pride. You know, I think it's important. We've been doing a lot of organizing to reach out to the LGBT community to, again, like Colin said, is how is it that we really not only advance, you know, some of the, come and integrate our struggles with other struggle, other social movement struggles, but then at the same time, really advance our agenda as well within that, and bring to the social forum, you know, our queerness, our perspective, our challenges. And I think that it's very important that we have pride. And I think a lot of us who are queer have been really trying to say, how do we then integrate in a real way queer presence, right? And really take this moment to honor the, you know, the Stonewall Rebellion, which is in a lot of ways a very significant moment where queer and transgender folks really fought back. And marks the fight around our visibility and right to define ourselves and to be there. So that's something that's very important that a lot of folks have been talking about. In fact, the organization called SONG, Southerners on New Ground, is really taking leadership around bringing queer folks from all over the place.
Mm. So one of the challenges in terms of trying to figure out as a movement what particularly can be advanced by attending the U.S. Social Forum. So, Colin, I mean, one of the main issues in terms of what Cindy mentioned was political moments or focus areas is the issue around immigrant and migrant rights. So as an organization, the National Network, what do you hope to get out of the Social Forum? And what do you hope that would contribute in terms of the immigrant-migrant rights movement?
Well, Tammy, I think, you know, Cindy's description of those being part of a series of different defining moments the last couple of years is right on. And I think in the last year we were incredibly, incredibly moved at how many people took to the streets coming out against really repressive racist policies that were being developed at congressional level and took to the streets and say, you know, hell no, and say that, you know, we are here because of the policies that have impacted us in our home countries, and we're here struggling and facing really repressive policies that translate into a lot of vigilante action as well. So I think those movements have been really key to galvanize the work that we do, galvanize our movement. But I think we're also challenging, trying to put that into very specifics and looking at what are those outcomes? What do we want to get out of that? And I think one of the missing pieces in a lot of the discussions and dialogues that have emerged since April and May of last year, the big missing pieces, we've talked about immigrant rights very, very specifically as immigrant rights in the U.S. We haven't looked that much beyond looking at what are the different connections, the intersectionalities, as Cindy described, with other movements. And what does that mean? I mean, the reason why the kind of repressive policies around immigration exists in this country in the first place is because a whole system exists that allows that to happen. It's a system that promotes economic and foreign policy, that sort of promotes the hegemony and economic superiority of the U.S. and Western Europe. And you see how people are affected by that in the Global South in particular, and why people are displaced and forced to migrate and then put into a situation of being in underclass that is sustained to support that economic machine. So, with, you know, looking at that in a much broader context, then the notion of what kind of immigrant rights do we want makes a whole lot more sense. So we're not just looking at the different piecemeal legislations that come down and kind of debate back and forth about whether this will make sense and what's strategically viable or not given the current administration. You know, that's beside the point. We start to look at this whole system and we start to be in solidarity with each other, understanding that we're in this fight together, and if we don't, you know, stand together against this larger political machine, we're in big trouble, and we're just going to be getting, you know, very, very small wins here and there and a whole series of losses unless we're already kind of taking that much bigger approach. And I really feel that when we first started talking, you remember this time when we first started talking about organizing a U.S. social forum, a lot of people really believed that this would really bring us together or drive us further apart. And I'm really hoping, and I think it's been really encouraging to see a lot of folks come together. And even in that process, in the dialogues and the discussions of the logistical aspect, the practical aspects of organizing it, we've actually had good political, solid discussions. And I think that will really translate into a real deep and movement-building effort.
Well, some of the strengths and weaknesses of the social forum process itself comes with the actual forum, the open space, right? So in one instance, it's kind of hard to expect in a progressive movement or a left or social movements that are very disorganized and disconnected here in the U.S. And abroad it may look differently. There's a lot more convergence going on, particularly like with the landless movement, et cetera. But I think what's hard is to try to figure out how these movements can converge. And I think part of the open space doesn't allow for actual real outcomes because it's not like the U.S. social forum can take positions, which could be a strength in order to try to hold the group together, right? So then let me throw out the problematics to you guys, is that people who've experienced the social forum, for many it could be a power of just even having those connections. And then for some social movements, it could be real coordination and convergence that happens. But then there's also others that you can get lost in those few days, right? There's hundreds of workshops, lots of things going on. And the real challenge has been to the World Social Forum process itself is, how is it going to actually advance the movement? What are the real outcomes that are going to come out of the U.S. Social Forum, or what happens post-USSF? How can it not just be a left fest? So, Cindy, Colin, take a hit at it.
I think that the question around open space, and I think that many those of us who have been able, had the honor and privilege to go to the World Social Forum, whether it was in Latin America and in Brazil or in Venezuela or in Africa as recent as the one that happened in Kenya, I think this is part of the process, sort of what people have experienced as organized chaos, right? And I think that's sort of like what the movement is. I mean, I think the movement is not neatly packaged, and I think it is filled with a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of, you know, unknowns, but I also think it's filled with a lot of curiosity about how is it that we're going to try to figure out some of these big major problems. And I think that for us, the open space in a lot of ways is the ability for people to bring it. You know what we say, you bring your ideas, you bring your work, you showcase what it is that you've been doing and thinking for many, many years. And I think that that in and of itself is going to be a success. For people to be able to workshop and show their work and have people have that level of exchange, and for a lot of us, is going to be a success. The second degree of that is if we are able to then, again, have some of the debates and dialogues that are needed between movements. And I think because it is one of the explicit goals for us to actually figure out the integration between different social movements, I think that we want to advance some key questions. And I think that's where we have to be realistic, right, about how is it that we begin talking in a very real way? What does it mean to build solidarity among African Americans and the immigrant community, and what does that actually look like? And it's not just a call for, again, sort of let's all get along, but it's really about really seeing what are those challenges, what are the obstacles, what is it that really going to take for us to have a strategic alliance, what is it going to mean to have folks in mass mobilizing in the streets for immigrant rights and have African-American presence there. And then, but what is it going to mean to, again, have the immigrant community really fight for the rights of internally displaced people? And I think these are some of the conversations that different movements are really searching and looking towards. And I think that the social forum is going to create that space where we begin to have some of these harder discussions, and that it is going to be a transformative process. And I think those of us who've been planning it know that, you know, come June 27th, as people enter, by the time July 1st happens, it will be a transformative experience. And that, in a lot of ways, is our mission, is to create a space in which people, social movements, come together, have the discussions, have the debates, but then have a commitment to continue this process. And I feel like that's when we bring it back home. What is the debrief, and what are the relationships we continue to build? And I think that that's some of the thinking, because movement building is the overall objective, and how we continue that work is going to be up to all of us.
That's great. So in the last minute, Colin, can you give people specifics? If they want more information on the U.S. Social Forum, where do they go? If they want to actually register, how much is it? If they want to submit a proposal, when is it due?
Everything is on the U.S. Social Forum website. You can either Google it or go to USSF2007.org. All the information is up there, registration information, proposing workshops in the open space system, nothing more democratic and revolutionary than that. Go there. It's all on there. And just a note, it is April 27th is the deadline for proposing workshops, but you can register right up to the day off.
And for organizations that want to register, how much is it?
Cindy, I'll throw that back to you.
So for individuals, the registration is sliding scale, 15 to 125. For organizations, is 125 to 300. And it's 78 days until the first day of the social forum. So if folks are getting on the road to Atlanta, you got to register, get your plane ticket, get your hotel or your camping gear, and get on the road to Atlanta, because this is going to be an event that you do not want to miss, because the one tagline, our theme is, if another world is possible, another U.S. is necessary. And so we're inviting you to come to Atlanta.
All right, www.ussf2007.org. Thanks so much, Cindy and Colin. We'll be right back to talk about the Panther 8.